gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the giant mud pit of free speech, because when it rains all week and it rains all day, and you get some mud, and then you're walking through the mud and you get mud all over your boots, and that's what free speech is like. Sometimes you have to walk through the mud to even think about free speech. But we do that at RBN. We will walk through the mud. We will burrow through the mud and get to where we're going. And if you want to come with us, you're welcome. But it's not cheap. You have to go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send badly needed fundage. And then go to nationalbugle.com, download the Koshertified app. Make sure whatever it is that you're eating out there in the mire, make sure that it's not kosher certified. Or it is. It's up to you. You can do either. Okay, today is our Monday show, and per usual, we have Cato with us. Cato, welcome to the show.
Yes, good to be here again. And the United States of America is one big muddy cesspit.
It's very, very muddy, and I'm putting up on National Bugle. I hope I get it up. I promised. Video from C-SPAN of Donald Trump's speech in Punxsutawney or somewhere around there. Somewhere, I guess it's in Westmoreland County Fairgrounds in Pennsylvania from last Friday, and it was very, very muddy. Very muddy. And I understand from Phil, from Punxsutawney Phil, that it's within burrowing distance of Punxsutawney. And he got there and, let me know that it was worth a watch, and that all these people walked, people who don't have burrowing capabilities, they walked through mud for hundreds and hundreds of meters, because he's on the metric system, to get to this fairgrounds for the county fair, and Donald Trump made a speech there. It's up on C-SPAN, and you can watch it. You can see it was raining the whole time. He's talking about how bad the weather is. But it was interesting, and I talked about it on Paul Stevenson's show for Sunday night. We talked about it with regards to Ukraine, but he also had some words about China. China! And right now, China, we're not in crisis mode with China. We are on the verge of World War III with Ukraine and with Russia supposedly over Ukraine. But China's out there. So I don't know. I watched this video because I want to know what Trump's saying. I want to know how significant, whether it matters to listen to him or not. And I came away with the impression that he's a factor. He's a big factor, like it or not. And we need to hear what he's saying. So with that, before going into any more details, I kick it over to you, Cato.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Donald Trump is he's gonna do his thing and his usual talking points. It's not really a surprise. The thing is, I don't trust Donald Trump, especially, the way he treated his supporters after January 6th, just threw them under the bus and, left. And by the way, many of them are still sitting in prison, in jail today, today, waiting for their trial. They're still in there. And we just see, just the utter clown world that we live in called the United States of America, and yet you got these people, they still put all their faith and hope and trust in Trump, even though he's clearly, turned out to be a failure and just a complete, just a total loss. And, they were walking through, all the, muddy dirt in Pennsylvania to go see him, and that was, to me, that right there is just, somewhat delusional on the supporters' part.
Well, whether or not it's delusional, there were, it's hard to tell from the video, but there were thousands of people. There were thousands of people who braved the weather, braved the mud, and happily went to. There was even a black guy. There was even a black guy. He's wearing a Blacks for Trump shirt, standing right behind Donald Trump. And I wonder sometimes if it's always the same black guy, if this is his professional black guy who follows him around and is positioned. I'm not sure. Maybe he gets local. He hires a local black guy, but the thing is, Trump is more popular now than he was a year ago. He's been doing these rallies on behalf of congressional and senatorial candidates, and we're in the primary season, and it seems that so far the people he's endorsing are winning their primaries. And so he is, to an extent at least, transforming the Republican Party. And the Republican Party was worthless. Whether, you know, the thing is, like, a lot of people point out that the people he's endorsing, like somebody like J.D. Vance, who was at this rally, J.D. Vance had been anti-Trump in 2016, although he's since become more pro-Trump. But a lot of the people that he's endorsing may be very questionable people. And when you look at his first administration, the people that he appointed to various positions, he appointed a bunch of anti-Trump people, a bunch of anti-America First. I mean, Rod Rosenstein. Who appointed Rod Rosenstein? Ultimately, it was Trump. Did Trump know who Rod Rosenstein was? I'm sure he did not. I think Jeff Sessions recommended him. Whatever. It was a horrible appointment. And so, and then even in the out of the people who are being endorsed by Trump, the dozens and dozens of candidates being endorsed by Trump, how many of them are even from the pro-Trump wing of the pro-Trump party? You know, how many of them are from the MAGA wing of the MAGA movement? And it's a fraction. I don't know how big the fraction is. So there, you know, you raise a lot of questions and doubts, and they're all very valid. But he's a factor.
Mm-hmm. Well,
do you think there's anybody else who has much chance of being the Republican nominee in 2024, which is, we're talking about 2 years from now, and as Donald Trump himself even said in this speech, we don't even know if we're going to still have a country 2 years from now.
Yeah, I mean, so there you go. Even Trump himself is you know, forced to acknowledge the truth that America, you know, in its current form is finished, completely finished. And the thing is, you still got a lot of, you know, just normie Americans, they want to cling on to the whole, you know, American system thing, and they still think that it can be changed, when in reality it can't. It just has to, you know, collapse on its own weight and collapse on its own stupidity and lunacy.
But then what comes after that?
Well, that's kind of staring into the abyss, the unknown.
It is staring into the abyss, and, you know, on the one hand, pretty much everybody, most people, even me, I think we underestimated or overestimated the impact that a president could have on the political system. We elected a president. We did elect a president in 2016, and he was inaugurated, and I think he had, you know, I mean, Trump, I think he's kind of megalomaniac. I think he's kind of adolescent or childish in a lot of ways. There's a lot of personality flaws there. But I think that given his self-centeredness and everything, he had about as good intentions as you could expect. But he was certainly thwarted at almost every move. And, you know, one of the things about watching a Trump speech is you listen to him talk about all his the great accomplishments of his administration, and you think, wow, that was a great administration, the one you're talking about. Doesn't bear too much resemblance to the one I actually remember. So, like, it's almost like there's kind of this fantasy world. And which, you know, so there's kind of a fantasy. But even his fantasies, it kind of matters. So if he says that he got illegal immigration down to the lowest levels ever, it's not true. But the fact that he's saying that, the fact that he says, you know, we got Mexico to agree to take millions of people, have them wait in Mexico for screening, and very, very few of them were allowed to come in. Well, that wasn't really true. But the fact that he says it is at least an indication that he wishes it was true, or that he knows that's what people want. I mean, what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, yeah, he could talk about how he, under him, yeah, the immigration was at an all-time low and that he really secured the border. But now it's at an all-time high. It's the highest it's ever been in American history. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so what? Everything that he supposedly did has all been not only completely reversed, but, you know, to even greater magnitudes than ever before. Yeah, the illegal immigration is at an all-time high now. People just flooding across the border. You know, unemployment is you know, very high now. You know, he was talking about, oh, the economy's great under him, there's low unemployment. Now the economy's, you know, pretty bad. And then, you know, we got inflation, you know, about to skyrocket. And also, you know, he also talked about, oh, we need to do something about spending and cutting the national debt. But now the debt is like, it's higher than ever. It's like, what is it, like $3 trillion now?
Oh, the debt is enormous, and it's been enormous. It's always been a problem. Now the fact is that for decades and decades we've been able to issue debt, and you know, it gets bought up. For a while, it was bought up largely by China. To an extent, Russia. There was a period where Russia was buying a lot, but China more than anyone else. But also, you know, these domestic institutions, and there's a lot of shenanigans going on with the Federal Reserve and everything. But you know, it's caused this massive increase in the money supply, and until recently, so much of that was just going into inflating asset prices. Now we're seeing prices for real goods and services inflate. And we are on the precipice, if that's a word, of the kind of economic collapse that many people have been warning about for a very, very long time. But it looks like finally it may be here. And of course, all that spending, you know, there was a big acceleration of spending in 2008 at the end of the Bush administration because of the financial crisis. It continued to a large extent under Obama and Trump, and then there was the massive increase because of the corona apocalypse, and now there's a massive increase because of racism and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, I mean, these are troubling times, and you know, to a lot of people, especially most people alive, it's the most troubling times that they've ever seen. And it's just pretty much, you know, one could say, yeah, I mean, all those 4 years were, you know, pretty much for nothing. If anything even came out of them, yeah, they were all for in vain. In fact, you know, it even worse now than ever.
Now, the thing is, I think you've got about half the country now that realizes that something is awfully, awfully wrong. You only have a very small minority, but a growing minority that is understanding that it's the Jewish power structure. Well, in the meantime, you've got this big danger because when things are as wrong as they are now, it's kind of natural for people to gravitate towards some sort of populism. And well, what is populism? At least some people define populism as a mass movement, but it requires an enemy. You know, it's blaming the problems that you have on some kind of enemy that people can unite around. And of course, the thing is, who's really responsible for these problems is our own Jewish elite. And you can have a populism that is aimed at the elite. It could be, you know, and there are people who talk about it. I mean, Tucker Carlson mainly talks about an elite. He says that the elite he doesn't say that the elite is dominated by Jews and that is operating according to the self-perceived interests of these Jews. But the thing is, you know, to talk about our elite is one thing. There is the danger of, a foreign enemy. And so, like, right now we're on the verge of war with Russia. And Biden is trying to buy into this by he's calling the inflation, that's the Putin price hike. And, you know, we should be willing to pay higher prices for gas to stick it to Putin. And there's this. And that might be working to an extent with white liberals, affluent white liberals, whose financial situation isn't quite so precarious, but it doesn't work with the people in Westmoreland County or, you know, Youngstown, Ohio, or wherever these other rallies were. And now Trump himself wasn't talking that much about China, but, you know, I watched his speech and he actually wasn't bad-mouthing Putin. He was saying over and over that Putin would have never done this if he was president. And the insinuation seemed to be that because Trump's so tough and Putin would have been afraid. Although it could be interpreted as meaning he wouldn't have done it because Trump wasn't pushing him to the edge. You could interpret it that way. And in the middle of the speech, Trump revisited the issue and said, Putin wants to make a deal. Zelensky should make a deal. A deal should have been made before any of this started, but the only way to end it is by making a deal. Which Noam Chomsky has pointed out, Trump's the only person talking about, well, deal-making means negotiation. Trump's the only person, only major statesman around the world talking about negotiation, whereas at least Western statesman, whereas everybody else is talking about defeating Russia. And that's actually a big deal. And one of the reasons I'm talking more sympathetically about Trump is who was in the audience in Westmoreland County. These were people who 15 years ago or 20 years ago, they were supporting Bush. They had the magnet ribbons on their pickup trucks or their cars. They were supporting the war on terror. These were people whose parent themselves and their parents and their, have been very pro-military, very hawkish, and now so Trump is taking a base and moving it in a better direction, which is why I look at him differently than somebody who might have 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when I was going to anti-war demonstrations, you'd have people who would say, well, okay, John Kerry, yeah, he voted for the war, he supports the war, but, you know, we got to support John Kerry because otherwise what about Roe versus Wade? Anyway, with that, we're at the break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, we're back. So that, you know, I recapped his statements about Ukraine. There were statements about China, but before we get to them, I just want to kick it over to you, Cato.
Well, I'll say this. In 2016, the number one reason why I voted for Trump, more than the whole, the border and the southern border, the immigration crisis, more than the his talk about, bringing back jobs, more than his talk about the economy and whatnot and the trade deals, more than anything, the number one reason why I voted for Donald Trump was because he said that we should not be, picking fights with Russia. We need to make peace with Russia and not be warmongering. Hillary Clinton was a warmonger. She's a war hawk who was all talking about, the Vladimir Putin, the red line, and, at the time it was Syria. Putting a no-fly zone in Syria. And Trump was saying we need to, we need to, resolve it as peacefully as possible. And then stop with the nonsense about, regime changing Assad. Of course, later on then he did some stupid things that, even though he didn't regime change Assad, he did, didn't really support him either. But at the time it was, when Russia was helping Syria, Assad fight ISIS, and Russia cleaned house and really put down ISIS. It was Russia who defeated ISIS, not the Trump administration.
Right.
But that was the number one reason, was because I knew that if Hillary Clinton would have been president, we would have been at war with Russia already. And I had to, do my part for humanity's sake in this case to put an end to that, and that's why I voted for Trump. as we can see, you know, 4 or 5 years later, now, you know, they're ramping up the war against Russia again, and this time it's with Ukraine. And so Trump, he did. He, you know, I do believe, you know, to his credit, he does not want war with Russia. But he may not like Vladimir Putin, but he does not believe that war is the solution.
He wasn't bad-mouthing Putin.
Yeah, he wasn't bad-mouthing Putin, and also because Trump was not, you know, when it came to NATO, Trump was not all about, oh yeah, we need to have more members join NATO, and we need to have Ukraine join NATO. Trump was not about that. So, to his credit, I do think that Trump is, you know, generally more, you know, he believes in a peaceful solution with Russia. Now with China, that's a little bit of a different story.
Okay.
While I do believe that, go for it. Well, while I do believe that Trump personally himself may not want a you know, cold war with China, except, you know, focusing on trade, the problem is too many people in his cabinet did. You know, especially that fat slob Mike Pompeo. He wanted a war with China. Ironic as this might sound, the reason why it was, you know, I chose Trump in 2020 was because of I knew that Trump would be the more peaceful solution with China, and I knew that Biden would be by far the most anti-China quote unquote president of all time. Because if you're, you know, if your policy, you know, the American Empire's, you know, liberal imperialist policy of wanting to impose liberalism around the entire world, and China being the greatest bulwark against that liberalism, that liberal hegemony, and his opponents are basically accusing Biden of not, you know, of not doing enough to go against China, and not only that, but being a Chinese CCP, you know, spy. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Then, yeah, he's going to be the most anti-China hawk of all time.
I'm talking about Biden.
Biden.
Yeah. So in this speech, Trump, there was minor bashing of China when he mentioned the coronavirus. He called it the China virus, because I want to be accurate. It was from China, which is stupid and probably not even true. He said that, and then he complained about certain other politicians being too pro-China. Okay, so there's that. He didn't mention Taiwan at all, and most of his complaints about China were trade. And, you know, the trade deals, I don't support free trade. I mean, in the 1990s, I remember when I was studying political economy, international political economy, and it was, well, free trade. I mean, all of the institutions we had were designed to only increase free trade and not decrease it, only to lower trade barriers. It was, they called it the ratcheting effect. There was kind of a one-way street. And, you know, it's, I don't support unbridled free trade. I think it's fine to have a lot of trade, but countries need to have sovereignty. At any rate, the worst thing he said was that China should be held accountable for the coronavirus. That's the worst thing. But compared to the China bashing you hear other places, including like Tucker in particular, it was pretty mild. But I want to hear what you think about that after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good. And every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee. So I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness. But there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Okay, we're back. So, let's focus on China that much. And, you know, meanwhile, you've got Mike Pompeo, who is positioning himself to be a Republican candidate in opposition to Trump, who not only is positioning himself to be a candidate in 2024, but is going around endorsing rival candidates for Senate in Pennsylvania at this rally and other places, very different people. And Mike Pompeo recently was over in Taiwan, calling on the United States to go to war to protect an independence that Taiwan has never even declared. So that's Pompeo. Now, Trump, like I said, he complained about trade, and he said China should be held accountable for the deadly coronavirus. Yet, I mean, you do have people who have, I think even Matt Gaetz, maybe it wasn't Matt Gaetz, but some of these people like Josh Hawley have introduced legislation to try, you know, to get China to pay, reparations of trillions of dollars because of the coronavirus. And this is awful. And Trump didn't go there. And he didn't dwell on it that much. But I'm bringing it, in all honesty, I'm bringing it up. He did have this anti-China theme. Which doesn't differ that much from, you know, if you were to go back 5 years or 6 years, you'd say China's raping us, but you can't blame them because it was our stupid negotiators who negotiated these deals. Now, when he's talking about holding them accountable for the coronavirus, that's going a little bit further, but not nearly as far as Pompeo, for instance. So anyway, I kick it over to you. What do you think? What do you make of all this?
Yeah, I mean, even though it wasn't to the level of the warmongers, it's still, I mean, that's a pretty irresponsible comment to say that China is responsible. You know, if they're going to say that, well, I'm going to say, no, the United States federal government is the one that's responsible and needs to be held accountable, and they need to have transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of evidence that suggests that the virus was manufactured in the United States by the United States federal government, the U.S. military, you know, rogue elements of the intelligence services, you know, and places like Fort Detrick, and brought to China during the military games of 2019, and it was simply discovered in China first. That's why they had the hard line, because they didn't know what it was.
Yeah, and this is what Ron Ant says. He says it was released in China. It was released in Iran. So the two places it shows up, Wuhan and then some like religious center in Iran, how coincidental is that? You know, the hearts of America's two big geopolitical boogeymen, they get it first?
Yeah, just the random.
Yeah, and it's not as if there's a lot of traffic between Wuhan and this Islamic center in Iran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's not like it would have jumped from one of those to the next place and skipped over everywhere in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, all evidence points to the United States as the originator of the COVID-19 virus. And, you know, I mean, granted, it didn't turn out to be this, you know, deadly black plague like the media will make it out to be. But it did give the United States federal government and their puppet governments of the West, these liberal democracies, just do all the stupid lockdowns and the back,
which tended to, I mean, a lot of people have talked about this more than I have, but an awful lot of the measures that were taken seemed like they may well have been planned out in advance, not something that was just come up with on the fly. After all of a sudden they, you know, this deadly coronavirus invented by the Chinese comes over to America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, I don't remember the exact timeline, but yeah, they were saying like this was already in the works for some time, and this was kind of their plan to, you know, take down China, take down the world economy, to enrich the you know, plutocratic billionaires in the West more, and you know, impoverish the people in the West more.
Yeah. Now, this, okay, I want to ask you this. Because, I mean, your feelings about China are going to be somewhat different from mine because you have a Chinese identity yourself. But mainly, mainly we see pretty eye to eye because I don't see China as being America's problem. America's problem is our own Jewish dominated elite, and I think we agree on that. And China is not trying to force its system on other countries. Why would it try to China describes its system as socialism with Chinese characteristics. And I would say there's a lot more Chinese characteristics there than there is socialism. And why would they want to export Chinese characteristics to non-Chinese countries? Because there's no evidence that they're trying to. And so whatever, I mean, whatever people might say about what they don't like about the Chinese system, whatever. Those are Chinese characteristics, and they're not trying to export them over here. But here's what I wanted to ask you. You got somebody like Tucker Carlson, and there's good and bad about him. And Tucker Carlson says a lot of things that nobody else in the mainstream will say. Now, he'll talk about the attack on American people. He doesn't really specify white people. Sometimes he does kind of go there sometimes. But of course, he'll say it's from our elites, but he won't say it's the Jewish elites. But he, you know, he says a lot of really, really important things. On the other hand, he's like really hawkish and horrible on China. So how do you feel personally about Tucker Carlson? To what extent are you able to look look past the China bashing at what might be positive, or to what extent can you just not even forgive him for the China bashing and the positive things he says? To what extent are they just become irrelevant to you?
Well, it depends on the day. I do listen to, you know, whenever Tucker Carlson is talking about, like, you know, the societal collapse that's imminent here within the boundaries of the United States, or, you know, even when he's, you know, talking about the whole Ukraine-Russian thing, sure, I'll borrow, you know, things from him, and I'll listen to what he has to say, but that doesn't mean by any means that I appreciate or like him as a person. I mean, I'm not, you know, yeah, the really nasty things that he says about China, you know, especially being a Chinese person, that really ticks me off. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to hold him in any good regard. But at the same time, if he makes a good point, you know, I don't see, you know, a problem with you know, highlighting what he says. Because, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you're... your enemy, even though I wouldn't really call him a—I mean, he's definitely no friend, but he's—I wouldn't call him like a direct enemy or anything. But you know, your enemy is sometimes right about things. So yeah, I mean, I don't like Tucker Carlson. I'm not a fan of him. I think he's doing I think he's a disgrace to, you know, the Chinese people, the Chinese community, for the stuff he says. But he does make some good points when it comes to some of the domestic issues in the United States, and yes, the Ukraine-Russia thing.
Mm-hmm. And like I've been watching him pretty much on a daily basis since his show on Fox started. It started a few weeks after the 2016 election, and all this. And I'd always detested him. I never liked him. You know, from his bow tie days when he was he was a protege of Bill Kristol, William Kristol. And so I never liked him. But then all of a sudden he appeared in the wake of the Trump victory and was saying some things nobody else would say. And I've had very, very mixed feelings about him. And I know in the past I have said things like, I would support him being president for life. At other times I have challenged him to a cage fight because... And what really infuriates me, the only thing that really infuriates me is his China bashing, because I've always thought that that was completely misplaced. And if it was just a little bit, maybe I'd look beyond it, but it's a really frequent theme with him. And he's an opinion leader. You know, but on the other hand, he's until recently was the only person who spoke almost... I don't know if he ever really spoke positively about Putin and Russia. He was more likely to speak dismissively, but say they're not a threat. But then often, half the time, when he would be defending Russia, it would be saying, because we should be allying with Russia against China. So he's got this bug about China. But, you know, right now the most immediate threat we have to civilization is war with Russia. That's the most immediate one. And then the next most immediate one is just the general downfall of civilization through a lot of the things that Tucker Carlson complains about. And war with China is probably, maybe that's the third biggest one. So it's like that, it's down on the list, and the things that are at the top of the list, Tucker Carlson speaks relative sense about. But it's not as if war with China is that remote of an idea, because you got John Mike Pompeo out there. So you know, even if it's third on the list, it could happen. So it's really tough. And so we're in the situation, just getting back to the whole Trump thing, you've got a Trump movement, and Trump's not, there's no, we know by now he's not going to be a savior, but there is going to be a president. And there is going to be a Congress, and our situation is going to be different depending on whether we've got, you know, the Republicans in charge of Congress. It's not going to fix things, but it's going to be different compared to Democrats. It's going to be different if we have Trump and his crew, which, you know, we don't have any reason to think that his personnel selection is going to be that much better. It'll probably be somewhat better, but not that much better than last time. But we know what we've got right now. And I think we also know that electing a president, I mean, a president like Trump, who was able to be outmaneuvered at every turn, but even, you know, even not, even if it wasn't Trump, there is so much power in our society outside of government, in the media, in academia, in business, in finance. There's just an awful lot of power out there. And so changing, even if you had a more effective person, you'd have to have somebody really, really talented like Vladimir Putin. And I don't see anybody, you know, and Vladimir Putin was a complete surprise. And I don't think there's any way somebody like Vladimir Putin could have gotten into the position he's in had it not been for deception, had it not been for him being undercover, in effect.
The sleight of hand, you could say.
The sleight of hand, yeah. He got put in there to save the day, and they didn't realize that he was secretly not going to save the day for them. He was secretly going to turn the tables on them. I mean, I assume that's what he thought. Either that or he just changed his mind all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, either way. I mean, it was a miracle.
Miracle. And it's not the type of thing you can really expect to have happen twice. And I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, I think that the elections matter. I think the government matters. But there's a lot more that has to be done besides just the government. And I think it's foolish and delusional to expect that things are going to change for the better just because you elect a different government. But I also think it's foolhardy to ignore the electoral process and ignore politics just because it won't be there is no golden bullet. This has got to be multi-pronged. And, you know, so it would be like, I don't know if there's anybody else out there, but it would be better to have Trump than Biden. But that's not going to fix things. It's good to have Elon Musk buying Twitter. It's good to have young Nick Fuentes creating his own platform and mobilizing Zoomers. There are a lot of things need to be done. There's no golden bullet.
The key is there needs to, you know, things need to be stirred up inside the United States, and, you know, many different factors, you know, whether it's Musk and Twitter or you know, a lot of the new platforms coming up, or, you know, just things need to be stirred up in the United States. Is really the thing, is to make the federal government's job as difficult as possible to, you know, control the people and the world, basically. I mean, that's what needs to happen. And yeah, I mean, our, you know, I don't believe in hope, but, you know, if we were to use that term, hope, it would not be coming from within, it would be coming from outside. And, you know, Russia and China, the last bastion, the last bulwarks, maybe not the last bulwarks, but the greatest and strongest bulwarks against, you know, world liberalism, against the liberal New World Order.
So I originally didn't like Putin because Putin was put in by the oligarchs, and I had been rooting in 1996 and 2000 for Gennady Zyuganov, the communist candidate. And I was really disappointed when Putin came in, got the Russian people to rally around the flag with his tough stance on Chechen terrorism, you know, won the election with it, and then you proceeded to make friends with George W. Bush and help out when, you know, after 9/11 and offer Russian military bases to the United States for the war on terrorism, this type of thing. I didn't like Putin. But he turned against the oligarchs. And so within, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years, my impression of Putin changed, and I've viewed him very positively and Russia very positively. And with China, it's hard because I never had any really real feeling for Hu Jintao or Jiang Zemin. You know, I Deng Xiaoping, I did have a feeling for. I felt I kind of understood him. These two guys, and then even Xi Jinping, I don't really have a feeling for it, but I'm just seeing awfully good results within China domestically, And those awfully good results don't seem to be that much at the expense of other countries, and in fact are very likely benefiting a lot of the countries that China's engaged with. And so I'm becoming more and more prepared to look at China as being potentially a big positive and not just neutral. Anyway, we're at the break. You can respond to that on the other side. Und die Sonne uns sagt, der Tag wird heiß, ohne eiskalt die Nacht. Bestaunt sind die Gesichter, doch nur nicht unser Sinn, ja unser Sinn.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Okay, we're back. You remember what I said? China potentially being a big positive rather than just a neutral. What's your response?
Well, China is by far the number one most safe, stable, successful, and secure and civilized nation in existence today, by far. China is in the best position to combat the United States, the American Empire, better than Russia is.
And when you say combat... Are you thinking of military, or are you thinking of economic, social? Yes. What are you thinking of?
Well, economic, in all fronts, really.
Military doesn't have to mean war. Military can mean deterrence,
worst comes to worst militarily. But China is in a much better position. China's really the number one bulwark. The reason why Russia is good today is because of China. Because Vladimir Putin after China. That's why. If it weren't for China, Russia would not be able to be so strong.
Yeah, if it weren't for China, Russia would be defeated by these economic sanctions. It would have already...
Yeah, it would have been already gone if it were not for China. And this is why China is by far the number one best position to combat the U.S. empire, because simply, China doesn't have to do anything. They literally don't have to do anything. And the U.S. will suffer. All they have to say is, okay, we're going to divert all of our exports to other countries. And it's gone. I mean, so, yeah, China is that's why they're just kind of monitoring the situation now with Russia, seeing where it's going to go. And China's just sitting back and doing nothing. And meanwhile, the U.S. is like, oh, you know, China, why aren't you doing anything to condemn? Why should China condemn Russia? Russia is China's, best friend. And on top of that, the U.S. media, the empire media spent all this time bashing China, making all kinds of racist remarks against Chinese people, calling Chinese people dirty and unclean. And now they want China to come onto their side and condemn Russia. Are these people out of their mind? Yeah, they are out of their mind. Mm. So
what's interesting is, people know I went to China in the 80s and it was extremely poor. Now Japan had become very successful, and it was industrialized even before World War II. But after World War II, it rebuilt and became very successful on the back of exporting to the United States. And the United States allowed a lot of unfair trade. It allowed it because of geopolitical reasons, because Japan was America's unsinkable aircraft carrier, near China, near the Soviet Far East, and so Japan got rich exporting. But exporting to the United States almost entirely. And then South Korea and Taiwan, they followed the same path. Then China started, it looked like China was following that path, exporting to the United States. And I thought, China's way too big. The United States can never absorb that many products. But the thing what China did that was different was it exported, it had that same export-led growth, but instead of exporting just to the United States, it exported to the entire world, to Japan, to South Korea, to Taiwan a lot, but to Europe, to Africa, to India, to Russia, everywhere. And so it doesn't have the same vulnerability to the United States that Japan and South Korea do, because Japan and South Korea, the Americans can pull the plug on the export market, and then all of a sudden Japan or South Korea or Taiwan are in bad straits. So China is different in that way, and it's in a much stronger position to stand up. And when we're talking about standing up to the United States, we're not talking about standing up to us. We're talking about standing up to the Jewish oligarchy that runs our country. And that's what's important. That's what people need to
remember. Exactly, to Jewish hegemony. And with all these, with all these exports, it can be said that China is reclaiming her position as truly the Middle Kingdom through manufacturing and export, because the world needs China more than China needs the world.
Well, there we go. Thank you so much for joining me, Cato.
Yes, thank you. It's always good to be on your show again. Hope people survive another week.
We'll do our best, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Abortion may soon lose its federal protections. I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. Politico is reporting on a rare breach of U.S. Supreme Court secrecy. Politico has obtained a draft majority opinion written by Justice Samuel Alito, which says, "We hold that Roe and Casey must be overruled, and it is time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives." If this is truly the opinion of the court, it not only is a huge win for the right to life movement, but also a huge win for states' rights. I'm not sure which is a bigger win. The federal government giving back power to the states is almost unprecedented. But don't get too excited yet. It may be two more months before the official ruling, and the justices still have time to change their votes. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, see this Pac'em.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.